One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was sitting at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "What is it, teacher?" A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he forgave them both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, to whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A couple weeks ago in my parish, we had a special event as part of our observance of this Year of Mercy. And this event was, I gave a teaching on an encyclical that was written in the early 1980s by Pope St. John Paul the Great. And the encyclical was called Divis Misericordia. And throughout this letter that this great pope wrote, he talks about the mercy of God. The title means rich in mercy. And in the letter, he says that the fact that God is merciful is evident throughout the scriptures. Throughout the Old Testament, we have many indications of the mercy of the Lord. But that it is in the time of Christ that this reality of God's mercy is emphasized even more. And it is so because Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. He is mercy, divine mercy, personified. Now, one might think, though, that it would be sufficient to just have had one statement in the entire Bible that says God is merciful. But instead, we have so many stories in the Old Testament about God's mercy. The book of Psalms is filled with proclamation of the mercy of the Lord, which endures forever. And we have the parables that Jesus gives about mercy and his great witness that we hear about in the gospel now of him forgiving sins. It's as if people can forget that God is merciful. Actually, this is something that has happened in humanity since the first sin committed by Adam and Eve. In the book of Genesis, they commit this first sin of disobedience. They disobey God's will. And that sin turns them away from God. And they need forgiveness, but they don't seek it. They hide from God. They want nothing to do with the Lord. It's as if their sin has somehow wounded their understanding of who God is. Here is God who created them, who's the source of their life and their happiness. He is full of mercy and compassion. And yet they've turned away from him by their sin. And down through the ages, many people will believe in God, but they will continually walk away from him because they don't feel he's merciful. They don't believe he's merciful. And so we have these repeated manifestations of God's divine mercy, that he truly is full of mercy. So We have to believe that God is merciful. We can't just believe that God exists but he's not merciful. We got to believe he is merciful. There are people who believe in God, they believe in his law, but they don't believe he's merciful towards them. Well, if we read the scriptures, we come to this understanding that the Lord indeed is merciful. But we need to accept his mercy. One of the ways that we can sin against divine mercy, against the mercy of the Lord, is by despair. Despair is when we believe that God is merciful, we believe that our sins are so great and so many that he cannot forgive us. If I have despair, I believe that I can never be forgiven by God. And this is a terrible spiritual state to be in, because it leaves you stuck in your sins and it leaves you without hope. You have this feeling that all is completely lost. But that's not what we can do. We cannot give in to despair, because that goes against the revelation that God is rich in mercy. Another way we can sin against God's mercy is what we call presumption. This is when we believe God is so merciful that we can sin all we want. We don't need to change our lives. We do not need to seek to conform our lives according to the teaching of Jesus Christ, but rather we need to conform the teachings of Christ and the church towards our lives. This is presumption. We're saying in presumption that God is so merciful, he's going to forgive all my sins anyway, so I don't need to repent of my sins. I can commit every sin in the book. But that's not accepting God's mercy, and it leads to sin taking over our lives. We become oppressed by our sins. The way of wisdom is this. We need to believe in God's infinite mercy. He truly is full of mercy, rich in mercy. But we have to appreciate the reality of sin, because Christ died to save us from our sins. He didn't die so that we could live in sin. He didn't die so that we could reject him. He died so that we could have a way to turn back to God and to live by that holiness of life for which God created us and for which we actually long deep within our hearts. Sin is never good for us. It doesn't make anything better. That woman in the gospel, her life was not better off because of her many sins. Her life became probably very complicated because of sin. In one of his teachings, Jesus says that he who sins is a slave of sin. And this is something that we can understand. Take, for example, some sin like lying. If I tell you a lie, immediately that sin of lying becomes my master and I become its slave. I lose my freedom. That sin is oppressing me. I have to live according to the lie I told you. I have to live according to the truth I told someone else. I have to live according to the half-lie and half-truth I told another person. So my sin of lying is now controlling me, and it's going to control me day after day after day. I got to worry about, am I going to be caught in my lie? But if I tell the truth, then I'm free. Or take, for example, relationships that are either based on sin or tolerate some sin. Relationships based on lies. We know that that's not good for us, that it doesn't bring happiness to us. It might for a little while, but eventually everything falls apart. Relationships based on impurity or adultery, they really don't work too well because they lose that interior commitment to God's law. Or relationships based on violence or drug abuse. These kinds of relationships exist all over the earth, and they're not real relationships. They have an emptiness within them, and there is no mutual respect in them. The sins in any relationship oppress that relationship. They make it a less free relationship. In that relationship, you're not free to be yourself. You have to bow down to the sins that you've tolerated in this relationship. That's really no good. Jesus tells us to repent. All of us, repent and believe in the gospel. And so we have to have this sort of balance between the reality of God's mercy and the reality of sin. Mercy of the Lord is infinite. We have this familiar analogy from the Diary of St. Faustina, Divine Mercy, that our sins are like a drop in the ocean of God's mercy. God's mercy is like an ocean, our sin is just a drop of water. But if we don't accept the mercy, then that drop of water, which is our sins, can drown us or choke us. It can oppress us. We have to accept God's mercy. One of the greatest, most powerful ways to encounter this mercy of God is in the sacrament of confession. You know, it's one thing to believe in God's mercy. That's really important. You've got to believe in God's mercy. But it's another thing to experience personally His mercy. And we experience that in the sacrament of confession when we make a good confession and receive absolution in the sacrament. I remember my first year of priesthood. I'd been a priest for probably about 1 or 2 months. And one night I got a phone call at exactly midnight. And I was called to the hospital, and there was a man who was dying. I was actually called by the nurse. There had been no family at the hospital, and the nurse called up, said, "We want to have a priest for this man who's dying." And so it was my first time going to a hospital in an emergency, and I was kind of scared. Because, you know, the first time you do that, it's like, I don't really know what, I know what to do with the prayers and the sacraments and all that, but I've never done this before. This is my first time as a priest doing this. This is real. This is not a class. This is reality. So I get to the hospital, and the man had, I think he had a brain aneurysm or something, and he was unconscious, and his hands were elevated. He was laying in the bed, but his hands were elevated, and he was shaking. You could tell that something wasn't right, and he was shaking his hands back and forth while he was unconscious. And I went up to him, and actually in that situation, we can still give the sacrament of reconciliation. The man cannot confess because he's not capable of talking, but he can still receive the sacrament. And so I said to him, "Sir, my name is Father Jason Worthley. I'm a priest, Catholic priest. I'm coming here to give you God's blessing and be sorry for your sins." And when I finished those words, "I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," as soon as I finished, he lifted up one of his arms and he grabbed my hand. Now, I have to tell you, I was so nervous at this time that my hands were cold. You know how sometimes that happens to you when, you know, you're really nervous in a nervous situation and your hands get cold? And I was afraid that my hand was so cold that it was going to shock him when he grabbed my hand. So before he was able to touch my hand, I pulled my sleeve down and covered my hand so I wouldn't shock him with my cold hand. And he held on to my hand for about maybe 7 or 8 seconds or so. And then he let go of my hand and he stopped shaking. He rested his hands on the bed and he seemed to be at peace, still unconscious. And when that happened, I was like, wow. You know, here I was, you know, half asleep, scared because this is my first time as a priest in an emergency situation. And the power of divine mercy just touched someone's soul. Who knows what sins were on that man's soul? They could have been many and great ones. He could have been feeling spiritually tormented at that moment. And that gift of divine mercy, which came to him through the priest, and for reasons known to God alone through me, was powerful. That man died about 2 days later, and I remember thinking to myself, he died a happy man. He died a free man, because his soul was free from sin. He did not have to fear going before the judgment seat of Christ. His soul had been washed clean by the grace of divine mercy. I'll never forget that experience all those years ago. It's almost like it was yesterday in my mind, but it was about 12 years ago. The mercy of God is very powerful, and we want to make sure that we accept this gift. In the gospel I read to you, there's a Pharisee. There's something actually about him that we should imitate. And it's the fact that he invited Jesus to his home and that he listened to him. He allowed Jesus to give the explanation about the mercy he had for this woman who had many sins. We have to invite Jesus into our life and listen to him. May we totally accept his mission of showing us the seriousness of sin, which is real, but also the infinite depths of divine mercy. In this way, we shall come to this awareness that God's mercy is infinite, and it's infinite because he loves us. God bless you.